Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
So let's read together in One Accord Church. One, two, read. Immediately, Jesus. So Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent his disciples away. Now, I want it to be said the way we got the team. Are we together? So we're going to quote it so that it has the same picture like our team. It's in the Mark's rendition. Mark 4:35. Let's read it like that there before we come back here. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Jesus said, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, this was an event after Jesus had had a program. A lot of people were healed. You know, it was after the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount. Can you remember that? Where he spoke to a lot of people. And of course, he had healed a lot of people. And he was even tired. Logically calculating, Jesus was even tired. And he said, "Let us go to the other side." How did I know that Jesus was tired? He was sleeping in the boat, isn't it? Because it was a long day. He had preached on the Mount and got a lot of people saved. And healed a lot of people and etc. He touched a lot of people. So it was only normal for him to sleep. You know why he slept? So that you understand that sometimes even though you did God work, you have to create time to rest. Are we together? Church, are you here?
Yes, sir.
That even if you are doing God's work, open this roof. Who are the people we sent to do that? Hallelujah to Jesus. So that there will be a lot of fresh air for us. He said, "Let us go on to the other side." Alright? And yet, he was sleeping after a big day. Painting a picture that even though you are doing God's work, you should learn to create time and rest. Some people are stressing sleep. It's the same thing. Sleep and rest is the same thing. While you are sleeping, you are actually resting. Are we together? So you must create time. Even if you want to make first class, some of you who are students, you must create time and what? Sleep. Or rest. Even though you may not live to see the first class. Are we together? So turn to your neighbor and say, "Learn to rest." Turn to another neighbor and say, "Learn to rest." Oh. No matter what you are doing, even if you are serving God, learn to rest. So Jesus had already given them a vision. The vision was to get to the other side. Like he has given us a word. Or for the new creations, all of us, the vision is to become like Jesus, isn't it? That can substitute for getting to the other side. But he didn't promise us that there will be no challenges. In fact, as a matter of fact, Jesus promised us challenges. Let me show you that power scripture. It will be good that you see it. That's one of the promises of God. He promised us I want you to see it. John 16:33. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world, or in the world, you will have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. So he promised you that tribulations must come. But he said, be of what? Good cheer. Why? I have already overcome them. And of course, that is why we saw some sort of trial with Jesus and the 12. He told them, let us go to the other side. And while they were en route their destination, there was a storm. Hallelujah to Jesus. There was a raging sea. And all of a sudden, the people started panicking. The disciples were panicking. It happens. God has said to us, let us go to the other side. And suddenly, en route, on your way to the other side, in your walk with God, via the help of the Holy Spirit, you begin to face diverse challenges. Diverse situations begin to present themselves. Now, the situations are not a proof that God is not with you. The situation also are not a proof that God did not tell you or give you a word. He gave you a word. He gave you a vision. But that doesn't mean that you will not see trials and tribulation. They will most definitely come. In fact, the Bible speaks to us in this manner. I think Paul was the one saying it. He said, an effectual door has been what? Opened unto us as Christians. But there are many what? Adversaries. Hallelujah to Jesus. The atmosphere is so dull. Can we all stand up, please? What? This is not glory chaos medicine. Yes. We're going to do it like primary school. If you're happy and you know, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know, and you really want to show. If you're happy and you know, smile for your neighbor. I say smile, smile, smile. Don't boo. Look at this Richard's brother. He doesn't know what to smile. Is that how to smile? If you're happy and you know, smile for your neighbor. If you're happy and you know, laugh with your neighbor. If you're happy and you know, and you really want to show. If you're happy and you know, jump on your feet. Woo, 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 woo. Shout glory. Let's get seated. We just discarded the demon of unbelief. So let's get on to the other side. Let's get on to the other side. Yes, now concentrate. Even if Jesus said, let us get to the other side, you will be faced with trials. You will see storms. Like the disciples, they were faced with trials and storm. And Jesus was in their boat. Interestingly, Jesus was with them. And there was a storm and a raging sea with Jesus in the boat, with God Almighty in the boat. You know, some people face trials and they're like, God, if you are truly with me, why is this thing happening to me? If you are truly with me, why are these situations happening to me? Well, he is truly with you. And that's why the situations are happening to you. But listen, he was not expecting you, or he is not expecting you to be swallowed by the situation. To be swallowed up by the situation. God does not want that. So that at the end it will be said that rest in peace, was also brother. Rest in peace. No, that's not God's will. That's why immediately he stood up when they woke him up. God, Jesus. Jesus, there's a raging sea. blah, 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 blah. When he woke up, he was in a deep sleep. He was truly tired as a man on the earth. All right? He woke up. And what did he do? Now, of course, we know that he knew that there would be a raging sea. And he was sleeping, knowing that there's going to be a raging sea. He's the all-knowing God. But what did he do? He first said to them, remember, he said to them first, you can work it out for me, media, around Matthew 4. Show me what he said to them first. Meanwhile, I'll be saying it. They'll bring out the scripture. He said to them, O ye of little faith. That was the first thing Jesus said. He said, you have little faith. Meaning that Jesus expected them to stop that regency. He expected them to stop the storm. He's not the one to do it. He expected the disciples to do it themselves. And that's why the first thing he said is that they have what? Little faith. Are you listening to me? Huh? Now you are working with the Holy Ghost. He wants you to become like Christ. You are faced with situations. Don't wait for Jesus to stop the storm. Don't wait for Jesus to stop the raging sea. Who will stop it? Yourself. Say myself. You are the one to stop it. If you see situations challenging you, stop it. Don't say, I'm a Christian. Let God come and do it. No. He will do it through you. Unto him that can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I've ever what, thought or imagined, according to what? His power. You observe that Satan is on your finances. Command him to leave. Do you understand? Don't just sit and say, God is testing me. You observe that things you are doing are not working. Command Satan to leave. You've got authority. You say, Satan, leave my finances in the name of Jesus. You observe your daughter, your son is getting sick. Every time they are getting sick. You don't just take it to be normal. Some people will now say, God is testing me. God is testing you with your daughter's health. Let him test you with your health. Because it's not you that the thing is spinning. You have mind to say, God is testing you. Hallelujah to Jesus. What do you do? In the name of Jesus, you speak to your child. Be healed. God has promised you a beautiful family. Or you think the day you got married, this is a beautiful family. And all of a sudden, your wife is getting sick. All of a sudden, you think you will not be faced with challenges. Jesus promised you challenges. He said Satan will bring challenges your way. Remember, he didn't say he's the one that will bring it. He said Satan will bring it. At the end of that scripture, he said, because a disciple can never be greater than his master. If Satan had the mind, the impetus to bring for Jesus, he will bring for you. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Yes, Satan, that they were calling Jesus God. In fact, Jesus called himself God. Satan still had the mind to say, if you are God, change stone to bread. He had mind to tempt God. Now, of course, he was not so sure that that was God. So he was trying to play his own card. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Even though he regretted at the end. He said, if I had known, I would have known what? Crucified the Lord of glory. Hallelujah to Jesus. But anyways, he tried his best. Even though Jesus said he was God, it didn't matter to Satan. That is why your confessions don't matter to Satan. So much than your times of trials, your tough days, when things are not going well. That is when Satan comes with more trials and tribulations. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? More trials and tribulations. In fact, he creates the situations. It's not about the confessing. I am who God says I am. He will say, okay, let's see now. Then he creates a situation. And remember, the Bible says God will always allow you in any situation and trial that he knows that your ability can overcome. So whenever Satan brings it, God allows it because he knows you have power beyond any trial Satan is bringing, beyond any affliction Satan is bringing. That's why God allows it. 2 Corinthians 10 tells us that there's no trial and tribulation that's come to us beyond our ability to overcome. So when it comes, it is because God already gave us power to overcome. We heard a song that says, same power that conquered the grave lives in us. That power can say no to sin anytime, any day. Are you here tonight? Now, don't be comfortable with a Christianity that cannot challenge evil, that cannot subject evil. That is not true Christianity. You know, some Christians, they eventually get used to darkness. They eventually make, you know, they allow sin to become a norm as some part of their life. when they struggle and struggle and struggle, in fact, they begin to change their experiences into a message. Now, if you have said that if you are born of God, you can't sin, hell yes, I can sin. Why? Because I'm born of God. Do you know what it takes for you to be born of God? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. All of these things are necessary. When necessary, for the capacitation or for the fortification, let me put it like that, of the new man. I mean, you are a product of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and you say you can sin. You know what happened at the back end of all of these events? All of these things are for the new creation. Jesus used all of these things at the back end to fortify you as a new creation. And that's why Peter said you have received everything that is necessary for what? Life and godliness. Are you listening to me? Everything, not some things. Are you listening to me? Everything. You know, in that river, I don't know how to put it, while they were going to the other side, there was a picture that was painted there, interesting picture, that God can be with you, all right, and allow wrong situations to present themselves, hoping that you will stop the wrong situations from happening. He wanted the 12 to change the situation, like I started with. He said to them, O ye of little faith, in answer, peace be still. Meaning, peace be still was not his will. He was not the one to say, peace be still. That's why he challenged their faith. Meaning that if they knew their place, they would have said, peace be still, before waking him. In fact, they would not even disturb him. At the end, they'll say, sir, we had a situation, though, but we challenged it, we stopped it. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But because it was not God's will, the first thing he said was what? Peace be still. When he said peace, I mean, he said to them, O ye of little faith. Then he said, peace be still. God wants us to challenge situations, including sin. When sin comes knocking at the door, if you found that you are addicted to a certain sin, God wants you to challenge the situation. That's why verse 12 of Romans 8 said, we are debtors on the strength of the provision of God. In verse 11, he said, you are debtors. In other words, God is challenging you that because on the strength of what I've done, you have power now to do something also. He said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. 13 said, because if you live according to the flesh, you will die. He said, you are debtors to by the Spirit mortify the desires of your flesh. So when Satan comes challenging, but you know, if you are living in the flesh, you cannot mortify the desires of your flesh. You got to be in the Spirit. Are you listening to me? And that's why many people that are so used to sin, that have been defeated by sin, even as preachers, they refuse to say the tail end of Romans 8:1. They say there is no condemnation. There is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Then they leave the rest. They say it was an addendum. It's not. It's not. Willingness to live for God is in the Spirit. They say, for the flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. The willingness to live for God is in the Spirit. If you don't walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the desires of the flesh. So there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because these people don't walk according to the flesh. They walk according to the Spirit. You see that? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What is then your response? Thank you, Lord, because I'm free. I'm free. And when you say you are free, don't just think everything is done. Satan will come knocking at the door. Sin will come knocking at the door. Challenges will come knocking at the door, presenting themselves, suggesting that the word of God you have heard is false. What you used to be addicted to will come back again, maybe 7 times, because you were empty. The Bible said when a demon is checked out, the demon stands around or goes for a while and comes back. And if you only discover that vessel that he used to be inside is now empty, he will come with how many? 7 others. And make sure you are completely destroyed right now. What he's trying to suggest is that, you know, the demon will come with 7 others. 7 is a prophetic number for perfection. He will come to an attempt. Of course, he cannot destroy any human being. But he will try to make sure that in his own heart, he gets you destroyed. even though Jesus can still save you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But that's the point I'm trying to make. You stopped sin. You stopped an addiction. But you were not staying with the Word of God. You were not staying with the Word of God. You are not receiving the Word of God. You are not attending church and hearing the Word. Because church is a system for hearing the Word. But you are not hearing the Word. Satan gives you, you know, this mindset that church is everywhere and God is everywhere. And you just sit at home. There are people like that. Thinking the church is something that the pastor uses as a flex. And they wouldn't come. Not knowing that they are the real target. Not the church that they are refusing to attend. Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing of the word. And the church is like a spiritual school. It's like heaven's school on earth. That teaches you the things of God. That teaches you your place in Christ. If you don't go to school on the earth, will you become anything career-wise? Who wants to be a doctor here without going to school? Is that possible? Who wants to be an engineer in this place without going to school? Is that possible? And that's why you see that the greatest attack comes to the church upon the face of the earth. Satan steers the heart of men to hate the church. You see that? You are hating what has the ability to fortify you to becoming like Christ. Because the Bible said the only place where you can be made like Christ is the church. Ephesians 4, from verse 11 down to 14. He said the fivefold ministry will perfect the saint. When you find out, see, I don't care what kind of work with God you think you have. If your work with God makes you to neglect the church, you are ending up in shambles. It's not some prediction. It's not anger. It's not some biases. It's the truth of God's word. You can never become anything relevant in God outside the church. God can never give anybody that privilege. You know, years ago, I heard a prophet, and it is familiar with prophet, when they are rising, sometimes they say wrong things. Right now, it's completely changed. You know, I've observed and I've concluded that I don't conclude on a man when I hear his present day mistakes. I'm a preacher that can hear a preacher making a mistake in his sermon, and don't condemn me because I know they will eventually get to the truth. And years ago, he was speaking against the church. In fact, he said the church, there is no God in the church. I heard him on Facebook. He said there is no God in the church. That God now is not in the church. That is why he does not do Sunday morning service. And that's why he's doing Sunday. That God has left the church. And I was observing him carefully. I told Mama T, I remember. If she can remember. I said he will start a Sunday morning service too. And join us. And God will leave all of us. Before you knew it. He said. In fact, there was a time he said. Crossover service is useless. That he will stay in his house and do crossover service with his brethren and wife. And I laughed. I said, you are just starting. Before you know it, he said the Lord told him to start his Sunday morning service. The Lord that left Sunday morning service. See, he will act with you like a child that you are. When you are done making money, he said, why are you to start it? And after a while, he did his first crossover service. You know, I like him because he did not even explain. Because if he tries to explain, he will sound more stupid. So he just did it and said, God, let everybody just understand that I've changed. Are you listening to me? You can't become anything relevant in God outside the local church. I've been telling people these things for years. I've been telling them for years. It's not possible. Years ago, a young man came to submit to me for mentorship. And while we were talking, he said, sir. You know, it was a beautiful thing he was even saying. For me, if I was not wise, I would take it to be a beautiful thing. They stopped him from coming to GCMI. And he forced himself and came. And that was beautiful. I should allow anything he was saying to flow, to just slide. So he said, sir, I told my people that I must come to GCMI. I don't know why they are against you. Blah, 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 blah. I told them, I must come to GCMI. I was just listening to him until he finally said, I am called to the body of Christ. I told them I'm not supposed to be in one place. I'm supposed to be in the body. And while we're driving, I said, you are not called to the body. He said, sir. I said, yes, you are not. You are not supposed to be everywhere in the body. What can you do in the body? When did you become born again? And what do you mean by that? He says, I mean anywhere I want to go at any time I will go. I said, no. God is not the author of that foolishness. It cannot be God. And he was so shocked. You know, he was so shocked that I was the one telling him this kind of thing. After the beautiful thing he just said. And we were coming to church that day. So when we sat in the office, I started expounding on what I told him. I said, you are sounding wrong. And you are sounding childish. And I understand you are just starting. But God does not behave like that. How much you add to the work of God in the body is how much you are working in your local church. He's not an author of confusion. And I expounded. I said, if you find out that your heart is going away, tilting away from the church, understand that the enemy wants to destroy you. Because the church is like a spiritual school. Now observe something. For some people, the church has done wrong to them. For some people, you've had tough situations. Maybe you were going to a church and the pastor raped you. Yes, you were going to the church and a leader there abused you. Maybe you were going to a church and they stole from you. It is very possible. You know, one time I was listening to a billionaire. He said he kept some money in First Bank. I'm quoting him. He kept some money in First Bank, some billions. And after a while, he said, let him go and withdraw some of the money. And he observed that they've removed almost plenty of millions in his money. And he asked them. And they said to him, they thought he was the one that withdrew it. And when he wanted to sue them, they returned his money back. What am I suggesting? That the bank stole from him. Now, did he quit using bank? Where will he keep over 13 billion naira? Who can keep 30 billion in their house today? And you'll be able to sleep. If you can keep 30 billion in your room and sleep well, wave your hands to Jesus. Especially when when your father knows too, you'll be suspecting your father. You may not want anybody to know that there's 13 billion in your house. Why am I going too far? What is 13 billion? How many of you will sleep here with 2 million in your house? You went to Wuruku Market and you remember there's 2 million in your house. And there is no security around your area. In fact, you start doing way bill from Wurukun to FA Quarters. Hello, sir. You that sell soap. Can you way bill me soap? Because you don't want to leave your abode. But what if your money is in the bank? There's this rest you have. There's this peace you have. Except for some of these banks. Where they are removing your 200 naira and 300 naira. But if you have it in Opay, right? Or Pampay, right? You know, in Pampay, it won't be increasing. I think even in Opay, when you put your money inside, it increases. Yes, I saw it one time. My wife knows it very well. Hallelujah to Jesus. You put your money, it's increasing. But you put money in the local banks, some of them are what? But the point I'm trying to make is that you are still using bank. Why did you not stop using bank? Because you cannot dare to keep some of even your 500k. You won't keep it in your house. As we're in this service now, if you just hear that the roof of your house is shaking wrongly, and they are not sure whether it's wind or a human being, but the roof has been shaking for like 2 hours, your neighbor just send you a message, madam, your roof has been shaking. We are not sure if it's wind, but my mind is telling me it might be wind. You just, before you tell Pastor Emma, you have already reached Uruko. And when they call you, you say, please sir, something urgent is happening in my house. And you go and check it. What am I trying to say? You have to use what? A bank! So it is. Why is it that you did not stop using bank? How many of you went to hospitals that you were spoken to wrongly by some nurses? I mean, the ones that have done 20 years in that hospital. Some senior nurses. Have you been spoken to by a senior nurse before? How did you feel? I mean, malaria wants to kill you. And you come to the senior nurse and she said, why are you behaving like a child? Have you heard some words like that before? We took a pastor one time to a popular hospital in Makurdi here. As we were entering, he was shaking. You see a man shaking. A man is shaking. And you think it's an ordinary thing? What will make a man to shake? Shaking like a woman. Sorry, shaking like listen. Shaking like he had malaria. I wanted to say that, not a woman. As he was shaking and shaking and shaking, we just entered the hospital. And I entered late. When I came inside, I heard the nurse saying, why are you behaving like a child now? Not be man, you be. I said, man, this is malaria. Malaria is disturbing this boy. Why are you talking? He's a man, Jare. He's shaking too much. Sit here. Call doctor. If they behave like, say, go die. I couldn't believe it. I knew that we would not stay long in that hospital. And when they kept him in the hospital, they behaved wrongly and wrongly and wrongly. In fact, I remember one of the doctors was around, but he was attending service. So he said he could not, after service, when they waited for him, he said it was not his turn to check patients. I said, the guy is dying, sir. He said, well, it's not my turn. If he dies, they will not hold me responsible. I said, really? And he left after his service. I said, carry this boy, let's leave this, please carry him. We took him to another hospital, very far. Hallelujah to Jesus. Even if the hospital had a saint name, we didn't care. Hallelujah to Jesus. We took him to another place. But we had to go to another hospital. We didn't take him to our house. Because he was sick. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you attended a place that you were abused by a pastor, don't say now, start going to mosques. Are you okay? It's not God that found your trouble. There are many pastors who don't understand the things of God. Only having the office. Are you listening to me? Just like some banks who are behaving wrongly. Just like some hospitals who are behaving wrongly. It doesn't mean that hospitals are wrong. It doesn't mean that banks are wrong. Now, it doesn't mean that the church is wrong. Are you listening to me tonight? All you need to do is to change to where your spirit connects with. Like I always ask my brethren here, what was the first reason that made you to come to this church? Say, my spirit. In fact, some of you didn't have a reason. You were just coming. And all of a sudden, you are grown. A point comes, Satan now makes you begin to feel that now your capacity has gone beyond the local church. It is not your capacity has gone beyond the local church. It is that you are about to explode like a bomb. You are about to be destroyed. Are you listening to me? No spirituality, no height of spirituality should make you look down the local church. Alright? So we're talking about going to the other side. And I was using this to explain how that you need the church. You need to be hearing the word. And you are even in a bigger soup if you are not even coming. Because how can the word get in you? And some will say, I will sit at home and the Holy Ghost will teach me. So you are this wise. You didn't become a Christian all by yourself. You didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost all by yourself. It's pride. God has kept men. He has given you a pastor, a father of faith, to fortify you. To get you capacitated. Like he said through Paul in Ephesians 4. He said to perfect the saints. So that you can stand the test of time. Are you listening to me? What will make you stand tomorrow? Not because you are wearing nice dresses. Not because of the status on your WhatsApp. You know, some people go to WhatsApp and they write a lot of beautiful things and they think that's all. I am who God says that I am. Doesn't mean that it's true. If you are not saying it and just putting it on your WhatsApp, you will not end up as what you are writing on your WhatsApp. And I want you to understand that WhatsApp status does not equate spiritual growth. Oh, I've been bought with a price. God, and they see it on your WhatsApp and they share it. But in the night, you are not saying anything. In the afternoon, you are not saying anything. Early in the morning, you are not saying anything. In fact, you wake up by 3 a.m. and still go to your WhatsApp. The Holy Spirit says something to you. Instead of you to say it, you are on your WhatsApp. I have been bought with a price. I refuse to be scared. You did not say it though. You just wrote it on your WhatsApp status. And when you were done, you slept again. Satan would deal with you. Now, Now, it's nice to write on your WhatsApp status after you have spoken the word of God. It can steer other people to be edified. But don't think that whatever you are writing, it is more like camouflage. People will say, this guy has fire. But meanwhile, inside you, no fire. Are you listening to me? Very important. And some people are excited when people think they are spiritual or they are making progress. Meanwhile, nothing. They just have this form of godliness. Say, my guy, you are successful. God has been good to you. But boy, your life don't change you. The kind of money where you get now. Say, now God, instead of to just tell the guy, I'm not really rich for you. So when I call that God. Then you now go on Facebook and prove it that. So I remember when things were not okay. Now we are flocking in the millions. My goodness, God. Now I want to encourage somebody under the sound of my voice. Somebody listening to me. I don't know where you are hearing from. It's the God that did it for me. Will do it for you. Meanwhile, no prayer life. You can't stay with the word for an hour. You can't fight the good white fight of it. Are you expecting glory? There are some of you don't understand this spiritual truth. You'll be saying that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Which tunnel? Let me be real with some of you. You are not doing anything about your life. Can you even remember the last time you prayed an hour? And you say the future is bright. What light will make it bright? I told you one time, it is the light you are gathering right now that will end up in the future. If you are not doing anything right now, you will not see anything in the future. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease. What a man sows, he must reap, else God is mocked. That gives me confidence that God will be mocked if what I sow, I don't reap. Now I'm talking about this. I'm saying it now in the positive. That since I'm praying and staying with the word, I must surely reap what I've been saying. I must surely reap what I've been confessing. Are you listening to me? I must surely. That's what the Bible says. Be not weary in well doing. Be not weary. Satan will bring situation to cause you to be weary. You've seen what God has said. Let us get to the other side. You've seen what he has said to you in Christ Jesus. What he has said about you. You have been confessing it. You've been saying it. All of a sudden, Satan will bring situations to suggest to you that the word of God is not true. You'll be faced with trials. You who are praying so much, why are these things happening to you? Why? You know, sometimes when I read stories of fathers and mothers of faith, I pity this generation. I was studying about Mario Woodward Etta one time. And I was so amazed. I couldn't sit down. When I saw what happened to her life. Do you know what happened with that woman? God called her. When she became born again, she was given birth to around the 1844. I think it's 1844. At age 20, she received Jesus. Now, before she received Jesus, her father died of alcoholism. She didn't even go to school. She didn't have the privilege of really having an education. A good education. Because the father would go out there when he makes money, he would drink. And nobody would touch anything from the money. So before the age 20, the mother used to send them to go and work for other people's house and have money. She lived in other people's house more than she lived in her own house. Looking for money. Do people get what I'm trying to say? I'm talking about Maria Woodward Etta that we all celebrate. Before even the coming of Kitchen Coleman. I have stories to tell you about Kitchen Coleman too. These are great people of God. And at 20, she became born again. She received Jesus after hearing a powerful sermon. And when she was praying one of those nights, the Lord told her, I'm going to use it to change nations. And she refused. She was running away from that call. Especially for the fact that women were discriminated in those days. You can't even preach as a woman. They'll talk down you. They'll laugh at you. And she ran away from the presence of the Lord. In fact, she said, if I marry, the things will become easy. She now decided to marry and forget the call. Like some ladies behave today. She married. When she married, she thought the man was the most beautiful thing that's ever hit the earth. He was a wonderful soldier. He looked so nice. But everything was camouflage. It was a lie. When she got married, things were tough. The man had nothing, even though he was lying that he had everything. She suffered in the marriage. As a consequence, they had over 6 children. There was a disease that broke out in their nation. 6 of them died. I couldn't sit down. I had to stand up. Because she was disobeying God. A lot of things were just happening to her wrongly. Not because God wanted them to happen. But you know, when you break the edge, the serpent what? Strikes. Married anything that came to her heart. Because she wanted to run away from the call of God. Had tough situations. And when men thought that she could not preach again, Maria Woodward Ether was praying and came out more of a fireful. They called her a preacher that would say few words and people would be crying. She didn't speak so much. One time, because of the discrimination was so much, you know, they would not listen to her in her town and they said she should go to another place. They called the place the Devil's Chamber or something like that. The people there were more like Sodom and Gomorrah, promas. That every preacher that went there did not survive 1 week. They all ran back. If you don't run back, you become part of them. It was a demonic place. And when they sent her there, they sent her with the purpose of ending her. Because they know that a woman should not be preaching the gospel according to them. But when she went there, they found that 1 week she was still preaching. 2 weeks she was still preaching. Guess what happened? After like 2 months, the city was turned. Almost everybody was now born again. One of the outstanding miracles of Maria Woodward Ether was that she was so anointed. She so much believed in God that when they brought a child who was dead, and when she prayed for the child, she said, "Take him outside, he will start running. He has not woken up yet." She said, "Take him outside. He will distract her when he wakes up. He will begin to run everywhere." When they took him outside, while she was preaching, he was running everywhere outside and shouting. But look at the kind of things she went through. You see how we just celebrated the glory. But see the kind of tough days she had. The tough experiences. You want to talk about Ketrukuma? You know why Ketrukuma is Ketrukuma? She made terrible choices. One of the terrible... And all of these women, if you watch them carefully, their problem is around marriage. Men. At a time, there was a man that came to her. They were dating a handsome looking man. They were dating. And she found out before she even married the man that he was already married. Maria Woodward Ether refused. Ketrukuma refused to leave the man. She was already in love. When she heard the man was married, he convinced her he didn't love the wife so much. Blah, 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 blah. And imagine the Ketrukuma we're all celebrating today. Of course, not this version of her. She said, "I will still marry him. We against the world." She married. Their love against the love of the world. They married. Love against all criticism. Of course, they married. If she was in her day, she would have written on her Facebook, "We did it." Love conquers all, yes. They say we will not survive. All haters. And maybe in the first year, they will do anko and celebrate first anniversary. Even though things are not going well, she will force him to wear that anko. And they will celebrate the best thing that's ever happened to me outside Jesus. So that she will pepper people. But one day, while she was in her house, after the troubles the man had given her, the Lord spoke to her specially. She said, "This is not me. This is not Kitchen Coleman." She stood up from the house and said, "I'm leaving." She did not think about it twice. She said, "This is not my husband. This is not the man I'm supposed to be. What am I doing here?" She packed her things and changed her city. Went to a far city. Wrote a letter and told the man to go back to his wife. Went back and told God to forgive her. And when she read the scripture and saw where God said, "I've forgiven your sins and your iniquities, I remember them not," she became confident. She went to a city. A man who knew her in the former city and knew the atrocity she did came to her and said, "Are you not Ketrukuma, the woman that married somebody else's husband?" And she said, "No, I'm not." He said, "No, you are the one." She said, "No, I'm not." He said, "You are the one that committed that sin." She now said to him, "Well, who am I to remember what God has forgotten?" She refused. That's the Ketrukuma we're celebrating today. So full of the Holy Ghost. She was the reason that we have something in the Catholic today they call the Holy Ghost priests. She entered into Rome, and some priests were saying the chaplet. And when she passed them, they all were filled with the Holy Ghost. They went under the power of God with their roses on their head, fell under the power of God, and started praying in tongues. She did not lay her hands on them. She just passed. She was going to greet the Pope. When that happened, I'm telling you, one of our impact, just one of so many. Are you listening to me tonight? And those guys could not stop. I remember they said in the writing, they said the Catholics, the leaders said that has to stop. It's not part of their system. Those guys who were filled with the Holy Ghost said, we cannot stop. We love it. They said, you rather take us out. They were ready to leave the Catholic Church. And now the Pope said in that time, he said, okay, we are not going to discard you guys. What will happen is that you people will be called the Holy Ghost priests. That's how the Holy Ghost priests came about. There was a time Ketukuma was preaching. True life story. She was preaching, you know, the way she can be calm and be shouting on the power of the Holy Ghost. She was preaching that she forgot that she was not on the stage. She began to walk on the air. True life story. I'm talking about a woman. But if you observe, how did Satan try to get these people? Where? Marriage. Probably you are 28, Catherine Coleman, time is going. You need to settle down. And when she saw this handsome man that was beard gang and had all the broad chest, she went out for him. You know, sometimes you are struggling with stupid things in your life, demonic things in your life, and you just want to settle down for less. You want to settle down for less. Satan ran away. Adam ran away from God because he felt ashamed of himself. He said, I'm naked. He ran away from the presence of God. There are some times that you do terrible things. Maybe you are subjected to terrible sins, and Satan will be suggesting that you run away from God. You run away from your call. Don't run away. Is your present help in times of need? Some of you words have gone ahead of you. There are words upon your life that says that you are supposed to be great. You are supposed to do the work of the ministry. You know, one time I was talking with a dear lady, and she said to me, she said, sir, the reason I will not give up on myself, not like this, sir. She made a terrible mistake and came to me. And when she came to me, while we're talking, she said, sir, why I came to you was because my grandma appeared to me and told me to come and report myself. Now, she thought that was all. I said to myself, no, not because your grandma just said that, but because the call of God is upon your life. You know, Satan will tell you, go away. In fact, you have made the worst mistake. Don't come back again. God cannot use you. Yes, he can use you. Yes, he can use you. What do you think is wrong with you? What we just saw in your life is a product of ignorance. He said in his word, he said, I will what? He said, I will save the willful captive. In fact, let me show you a scripture. I didn't want to do that, but I'll do it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Are you here? Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Isaiah 58 from verse 5 in the NLT's rendition. How did you see the character of God? It will amaze you. Isaiah 48 from verse 5. 48. Now, these were people who had done a terrible thing before God. Terrible mistake, and see how God is speaking to them. That is why I told you what happened. I told you beforehand what I was going to do. Then you could never say, my idols did it. My wooden image and metal, God commanded it to happen. These guys were, God was shouting here to the prophet. They were more like idol worshippers now, a people of God turning towards idols. Are we together? Now, next part of scripture. I'm sure whatever you've done, you've not turned towards an idol. You have heard my predictions and seen them fulfilled, but you refuse to admit it. God is speaking to his people. He said, we refuse to admit it. Next part of us. Okay, let me finish it. Now I will tell you new things. Secrets you have not heard. I know you didn't catch something here. This is God saying that he was not excited with his people because they turned to idols and because they heard his predictions and not admit that he is God and great. And now the next thing God is telling them is that, behold, I will tell you new things, secrets you have not heard. God is not saying I will deal with you, even though they were stiff-necked people. Are you people getting on trying to explain it? They have done terrible things, but God is about to start something. He was ready to start a new work with them. He's telling them, I don't like what you did, but let's move forward. Let's make progress. Instead of throwing them away, God wants to start something new with them. Are you all listening to me tonight? Now, this is how God thinks. If God comes to you, he wants you to move forward. With God, it's always a new beginning. He's not wanting you to think about your past and your mistake or nor your addictions. He wants you to think forward and forward alone. He said, let's talk about new things. Next part of scripture. Thank you, Holy Spirit. They are brand new, not things of the past. So you cannot say we knew that at all time. All the time, I mean. Brand new things. Even though they were misbehaving yet. God said, I want to start a new thing with you. Next part of scripture. Verse 8. I want us to read this verse 8 together. 1, 2, read. Did you see that he called them rebels? But he said, I'm ready to do a new thing with you. I don't like what you are doing. You are behaving wrongly. But come, let me show you something new. He's ready to start a new walk with them. So if you are here under the sound of my voice, you felt like you use your hand to scatter everything. God is saying, I know you've done it. I know you are a stubborn child. But now let's start something new. Are you listening to me tonight? Now I want you to read verse 18 with a loud voice. He's still talking to them. Verse 18. With a very loud voice. Want to read? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Shout glory. And now I want to look at Isaiah 43:18. Same people. But see how he says it. The same people. No. Let's go back there. There's a part I did not quote. Verse 9. I thought this is where we just read. It said, yet for my own sake, for the honor of my name, I will hold back my anger and not wipe you out. I wanted you to see this part. Why will he do the new things? Not because of you, but because of himself. He is full of mercy. He is full of love. Are you listening to me? When the prodigal son came back, the father did not say, get out. He did not hear his confessions of sin. He hugged him. Everything necessary to make that guy new was in God. I don't know why I have to say this, but God is ready to start a new work with you. Are you listening to me? No matter, don't give up to the devil and say, I have done too much bad. No matter what bad you have done, it's not close to what Jesus has done on the cross for your sake. Are you listening to me tonight? You may have carried your hand to spoil things. God is about to use his hand. He's ready to use his hand to arrange the things for you. Don't give up on yourself. Refuse to give up on yourself. I'm too bad. I've done this. Pastor don't know. My friends don't know. I don't think God will forgive me. In fact, God has forgiven you. I just spoke about Mario Woodward, Etta and Gretchen Kuhlman. Did you see the marvelous things God did through their life? Can you find any connection with the stories I'm just sharing with you? All we know is the beauty, but look at the stories behind. Now, I didn't say those stories so that you too will go and marry wrongly, so that God will follow that process now and change your life. It was an act of God's mercy. Are we together? So like I said, we'll look at a part of scripture also, 43:18. I want us to read with a loud voice. With a loud voice. 1, 2, 3, read. But forget all that. All right, give me the NKJV. From the NKJV. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things. Prior to this, verse 17, he made a lot of promises. I didn't want to go there. He said, behold, I'll do a new thing. One of the last things he said here is that, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power? They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. He's telling Israel what he will do for them. Then he said, forget the former things that I've been doing. You know, this morning, early morning while I was praying, I didn't come to say too much things this morning. God told me, he said, son, forget the former things. Forget the former things. I'm about to do a new thing with your life. He said, I'm about to do a new thing with the church. He said, forget the former things. Forget the former things. He said, things will happen in ways you cannot even understand, in ways you cannot even comprehend. He said, but forget the former. Don't be used to the former things, the way things have been done before. Are you listening to me? And one of the things the Lord told me is, he said, tell my people to stand on my word. You know, like the song says, standing on the promises of God. He said, tell them to stand, for this is the last rush. He said, for this is the last hour. He said, tell them not to be weary. Now, I'm not saying this to get anyone excited. I'm telling you, as the Lord gave me his word while praying, he said, tell them to stand on my word, for this is the last rush. And listen, in the last rush, it will look like Satan is doing all the stupid things. There's always darkness, deeper darkness at the edge of the tunnel. But if you get even deeper, you find light at the end. Now that it is almost about time for the glory, you're going to feel darkness in contention more. Like, I'm very sure some are feeling. Because we call it the year of the flight. But I tell you the truth. What is the connection between Joseph in a prison just one night and the next day is the prime minister? How will Joseph understand? How will he believe it? That tomorrow, by this time tomorrow, I'll be crowned the prime minister of Israel, of Egypt, I mean. If anybody told Joseph that, will he believe? In a prison, tell you that, brother, before tomorrow ends, you'll become the prime minister. Where is the connection? But we'll serve a God who understands all the connections. In a well to Potiphar's house. If they told Joseph, let's get to the other side, he would have been excited. What was the connection between a man that stood up one morning and said, I have a dream. I saw myself great. And all my brothers, they bowed to me. Daddy, that's what I saw. I can imagine the father looking at him and saying, this boy with his dreams. And the next thing, I imagine the brothers. Of course, they showed it in scripture. They said, this guy is a stupid boy. We're going to deal with him. You know, some people say, don't say your dreams so early, else you suffer like Joseph. I mean, if that suffering can take you to the palace, why not suffer like Joseph? If you hide the dream, you probably will not get to that well. If you didn't get to that well, you probably will not be faced with those people that bought you, those slave traders. If you are not bought, you probably would not be in Potiphar's house. If you are not in Potiphar's house, you probably would not be lied upon. If you are not lied upon, you probably would not be in the prison. If you are not in the prison, you probably will not meet the king's aid. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Who was thrown for a while in the prison? God knew where the guy was. He said, Michael, let's work out something. I want to connect him to the guy so easily. He's just going to suffer a while in the prison. Alright? And they worked it out. And they allowed the demon to enter Potiphar's wife. And she started cutting eye for Joseph. She thought it was her own self doing that. Some of these ladies cutting you eye is a devil. You think you are very handsome. You know, there are some of you who are very ugly. And ladies are cutting you eye. And you now eventually think you are... Now, I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to just joke. But I mean it a little bit. And now they are cutting you eye. Alright? And you think you are so fine. I remember years ago, my spiritual father said, you think you are fine. You are so ugly. He said, the anointing on you is why they want you down. I will never forget those words. He said, remember where you did have anointing, who used to like you? I said, it's true. My neck, this is my slim leg. Nobody used to admire that. He said, now they are telling you that your neck is sharp. Your eyes are beautiful. He said, think about it. Look at yourself in the mirror. See your, he will come and see your beard. He said, it's the anointing. He now quoted the scripture, because of the anointing, the maidens loved it. You dress with suits. You think ladies don't like focus people? You carry microphone. They look at you and they just see the glory of God. And they wish, a spiritual lady will wish that's her husband. And they will begin to hire you on WhatsApp, hire you on Facebook. You will think you have arrived. No, it's the anointing. The anointing, I mean, on you, that is making the maidens. If you like, love them back. Spread the love of God. You're on your own. That was what happened. There was a destiny on Joseph. Fire upon Joseph. Prophecy over him. Potiphar's wife said, that's the one I like. Oga's wife liked the one that prophecy is upon him. Oga's wife was giving him the right hand of fellowship. Joseph, who used to be a slave, his first biggest job, working in the commander's house as the second in command, as the direct PA. And Madam came when Oga was not around and said, young boy, I love you. I like you. I want to do stuff with you. And I promise you, this entire entourage will become yours. I'll be removing Oga's money and be giving to you. You will be the real Oga, even though you are under my Oga. Joseph saw all of this opportunity. You know why Joseph refused? Not because if he did it, anybody would catch him. I tell you, Joseph would have done that thing for 50 years and she will finally die. Her husband will finally die and it will be smooth. Meanwhile, when they finish dying, he may be the one to take over all the entire property. But guess what? Joseph said, because he feared the Lord. He said, how can I do this great sin against my God? How can I do? He had reverence for God. He said, I can't do such a great sin against God. Nobody may be watching, but God, you are watching. I refuse. And he left the woman. She tore his dress, tore her dress, and shouted, rape! And she cried. Now, you know what happens when a woman cries? The entire nation was against Joseph. Who will come and save Joseph? Who saw it? Nobody saw it. The only people that saw it cannot enter into time and say it. There were angels and God. And when Joseph went before the court, he was probably expecting God to come down and say, all of you rubbish people, leave my boy alone. Nothing like that happened. Heaven was mute. You know those moments when heaven is silent? Something is working on the inside. Strategy were being in place. And if God doesn't show up, know that that situation is just part of the strategy. Keep on moving forward. And all of a sudden, this faithful guy was in prison. Faithful guy. What did Joseph do? Nothing. Did Joseph rape anybody? No. The world, what does the world think? Joseph raped. Joseph attempted to rape Potiphar's wife. Everybody was against Joseph. Amebo everywhere. Voices from every. That stupid boy. He attempted to rape Madamo. He's in the prison. Majority said Joseph did it. Everybody in the prison began to change because of Joseph. Joseph became so impactful to the people in prison that one of them said, let me talk like Lagos people. Aji, if I go outside, I will not forget this man. The king was asking, who can interpret my dream? Blah, 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 17 cows and 5 cows. All the people with all the otumokbo, with ace and wine, and all the demonic power, the people that believe in Amadioa and Sango, they came. They could not interpret this dream. The heaven was blocked. Where that dream came from was from the third heavens. They were just around the first heaven where demons are. They can't understand that light. But there was a man called Joseph. And the man who was the king's aide, because of the impact, can you really impact people that when they go outside, they can trade their life on your life? The king said, if that guy does not interpret it, I will cut your head. He said, king, my head is on the ground. Ajay, cut it. But I know Joseph. If Joseph comes out, you know Joseph, king, you're whining Joseph. He was already singing the praise of Joseph. He said, if Joseph come out, Joseph will interpret all of your dreams. Finally, Joseph came out. He didn't disappoint that guy. The guy was already seated. You know, I watched one match. Marcelo gave Ronaldo pass. And when Ronaldo began to dribble, Marcelo lifted up his hand. He was already shouting goal. He had four people to dribble, but Marcelo was already celebrating the goal. He was so sure of his friend that in this kind of position, the friend will not miss. He will score the goal. I know Messi fans are not excited now. What I'm trying to say is that the king's cobbler, the aide sat down. I was already excited. Ah, they will promote me. Now my guy. Immediately his guy came there. He said, king, small matter. Fat cows mean this. Slim cows mean this. Connection. You have it. The king said, Jesus Christ. No, he didn't say Jesus Christ. He didn't know Jesus. He was shocked. The king was shocked. Wow. Wow. Oh my God. He got it. He said, this man is too wise. He said, listen, I am making a decree. He didn't say, Joseph, where you come from? He said, no, forget about where you come from. Whether you come from, whether you are a fool or a man, I don't care. This thing you have, we need it. We need it. Some people will say, because of where I'm coming from, that's why they are not giving me. You are already announcing it. See, where you are coming from will not limit you in the name of Jesus. You get to places, people will not ask for your language because of what you have to offer. And the king said, outside my command, except I say anything, anything Joseph says, he stands in this kingdom, a foreigner. Of course, we don't need to tell you what happened to the king's aide. He had double promotion. Joseph was not foolish. Said, my guy, they shake themselves. I'm sure they hug. My guy. Ajay, I vow for you. I stake my head for you. And of course, Joseph would have said, this guy, in fact, anything he says in this place, they could not hear him. He's my guy also. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, what was the connection? One night, Joseph in prison. The next night. But you see, the beautiful thing about that story was that Joseph interpreted that guy's dream. And he was amazed. He said, I will not forget you. In other words, people that seem like they cannot help you, treat them nice. You see that cell you are pastoring? You say God has given you a global ministry. If the cell does not grow, you don't have a global ministry. Make people grow in that cell. Make people grow in that fellowship. Treat people nice. This person you are treating nice now that seems like nothing, maybe he's a king's aide somewhere. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Maybe he's a houseboy somewhere. He will suggest to the king that there's somebody I know, sir. He can do this thing. Are you listening to me tonight? I told you a story of a mechanic that recommended me for a job in Lagos that pays in dollars by just treating him nice. I don't know him from anywhere, but when he got there, the first person that came to his mind was not his father or mother or brothers and sister. It was the person that treated him nice. Are you listening to me tonight? You are getting to the other side. And I'm telling you, your time has come. I say your time has come. Even if it seems so tough, keep on standing. Keep on being faithful. Because darkness may endure for one night, but joy comes in the morning. All of these seasons of your life that it seems as if darkness have endured, listen, it is to the end that joy is about to come in the morning. And for darkness and daytime, which one is longer? Daytime is longer than what? Darkness. Your seasons of suffering is nothing compared to your seasons of glory. Right now you are going to enter into the glory, and you will enjoy your life so much. But one more thing, the problem with the children of Israel, the reason why God did not allow them to see the promised land was because of a wrong mindset. Change your mindset today. Allow God to change your mindset. It is possible to have a miracle and still have a wrong mindset. God will not deal with you in the promised land if you have a wrong mindset. Even though he can give you a miracle, they were stubborn, yet there was manna for them. They were stubborn people, yet there was manna for them. There was water from the rock. They were stubborn and still had miracles. You can be stubborn and still have miracles. But God will not deal with you in the land of promise except your mind is changed. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? You want real stuffs with God, real miracles with God, not this kind of miracle of 3,000, 5,000, 2 million, where God makes you a CEO in charge of a firm, where God puts a system under you. He has to trust you. He has to see your mindset change. Are you listening to me? He has to see you from now and know that, Christabel will get to that position and not take bribe. He wants to know now, not tomorrow. From the little actions today, God wants to vet you. I said, if this girl go up there, she will not compromise her faith. My work, my church will not suffer. Her family will not suffer. You know why some of you are not blessed? Because with the little you have now, people are suffering around you. Even your brothers will ask you for something, you will lie that you don't have. You will swear to God you don't have. Your brother, your blood brother, your blood sister, you are swearing to God you don't have. And God is like, what if this one goes up there? There is no need. Nobody can be blessed. But when God sees that you are faithful in little, He loves people that are faithful in little. He doesn't want to put the money in you and you become fat and explode. He wants the money to flow from you. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So He's looking for those qualities right now at this phase of your life that it seems like you don't have so much yet. He's like, let's cross to the other side. But He wants to see you change. En route to the other side. As you are going and are faced with the storm, how do you challenge? How do you talk? When there is no money, when there's lack, how do you talk? Do you start saying, God, I thought you know what you are doing. I thought you are God. If you are God, see my business. See business, where you give. See God, see people. They are worshipping Sango and the rest. See what your mates, they do people business. See what your mate is doing to people's business. See me. And now you say you are Almighty God. I beg. I've left you. I go and meet an idol. Then God is sure that you never loved him before. You were only using him. That's why for a while when Moses was not around, they said, create for us an idol. And God said, what kind of people are these? They surely don't want to enter the promised land. Finally, they did not enter. But the ones that will be tough in tough situations, the ones that will be tougher, no food on your table, only Gary. And they look at you. You see, lifted up your hands. Jesus, I thank you. You do well. I love you. You don't make my life better. Your life better with Gary on your table. I go to serve you forevermore. You be Baba. And God, that will set hell in confusion. And Leko will meet Satan and ask him, do you know that guy? Why is he excited? Bishop Ipoyedepo had a situation. His wife had like 3 miscarriages. Now, I think at the third one or the fourth one, he came back home. And they said, she just dropped the food. No, she just came to greet him at the dining. And when she greeted, he said, why are you looking like that? She said to him, I just lost the baby. He said, not possible. He hit the table. Boom! He said, bring my food, honey. She was shocked. What a transition. After shouting, not possible. Get me my food. And he started arranging her hair and telling her how beautiful she was and allowed her to sleep. But that night, something changed. He could not sleep. When he was done eating, he spoke God's word until morning. That was the last time she had a miscarriage. But if he was angry and said, what kind of stupid stomach do you have? What did you do? How many abortions did you have before you came to this house? Blah, 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 blah. That's how he would have been childless. He gave God praise in the tough situation. Set Satan in confusion. They didn't know everywhere in hell first blow when he began to praise God. Everywhere was blood. And all of a sudden, there was a new day. There was a new day for the wife. I mean, you are serving God and they told you are going to shake nation. All of a sudden, not in your account. My God. Zero minus 0.15. Lakuka letter. Now, this is somebody who has been faithful to God. And now Satan begins. The first person that will run to you is Satan. As Shebi will tell you, he will start reminding you through the words of the naysayers. What have we been telling you? Church is calm. God is calm. But if you fail at that time, your strength is weak. You have to speak like men of old. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded by him. This is what makes earth hell blow and heaven ignited with fire. You set angels on assignment on fire. You see angels beginning to pump in the realm of the spirit. Who is this guy? Who the heck is this guy? They are ready to go out and make sure everything begins to work together for your good. They are ready to go and change situations for your sake. Because they've seen one standing on the rock. They've seen one immovable. They that trust in the Lord shall be like what? Mount Zion that can... They can't be shaken. If you are shaking, you are not on Mount Zion. You have received a kingdom which is immovable. On the strength of that, we serve God with so much conviction. In tough times, we are serving God. In times when it seems like things are not working, we are serving God. We keep our confession intact. I dare you, whenever you are faced with tough situation, you opposing confession, declare them. Declare them so much, let your heart be filled with them. He said to the children of Israel in the book of Isaiah, he said, I've done a new thing. He said, create new songs with the things I've done. They have not seen it in manifestation. No. They started singing what God will do. As they were singing it, all of a sudden they bump into the miracle. He told them what he will do. They created a song. You have done great things. They were just saying it. They have not seen the great things yet. You have done. All of a sudden, they entered into it. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God. You are faced with tough situation. Test it. Speak the word of the Lord. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded by him. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded by him. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded by him. Refuse to fall a prey to the devil. Paul said, we are pressed on every side. Everywhere we turn, Satan is trying to get on. He said, but we will never succumb to situations. He said, I've learned to endure in seasons of plenty and seasons of small. Be tough. Be tough. The kind of thing God wants to do with you, if you fail now, you are not qualified. What will you tell to people that will come after you? You are faced with lack and you are crying and you say, Lord, I give up. You are the one that you are thinking will bring many ladies in the same situation into glory. What the heck has happened to you that you think that you should not serve God anymore? And you call yourself a woman of God? When you get to that height, how do you bring people into this glory? Somebody is telling you I was abused and you say, just give up. But when they say I was abused, I don't think God is faithful. You just smile with one tear from your eye and say, dear lady, God is very faithful. Are you okay? I'm trying to say, how will my father do such a thing? But she refused. She kept on listening to the word. Do you know she actually entered into trauma? There was a point she confessed and said, and I'm not sure some of you heard this. She said while she was preaching in the earlier days, she was even smoking. That some of you didn't know that while I was preaching to you people, I was smoking. I stopped several years ago, so years ago. She was smoking while a preacher because she could not really remove those things from her head. Sometimes when it begins to come, she will begin to smoke until the word of God filled her heart. No wonder God gave her such a book, The Battlefield of the Mind. You can imagine the kind of things that happened in her mind. You can imagine the kind of battle she fought in her mind. The stupid suggestions that Satan was putting in her mind. But she understood that the word of God, somehow at the end of the tunnel, she won the victory. And she gave us a book. Telling us that children of God, there are plenty battles in your mind right now. There are plenty battles. But keep on standing strong. Don't give up. Keep on speaking God's word. I tell you the truth, we'll meet in the glory together. If you don't fret, bow your heads and pray in the spirit. Just bow your heads and give God praise. You deserve the glory. Go ahead and pray. And the honor. Lord, I lift my hands in worship. And I bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, I lift my hands in worship and I bless your holy name for you.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.